Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Natural Resources and Environment. I'm mixing it up today. We're going to do natural resources first. Actually, we are going to have our work session first, which will only take a minute or so, and then we'll move into the public hearings listed in the order on the agenda. So with that, I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 81, and we'll accept the motion.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 81 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Okay. Senator Przanski moves Senate Bill 81 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. And just a reminder to folks, we heard the hearing on this on February 10th, and this is about setting a fee for ballast water. We heard from DEQ, and we heard from members of the stakeholders, or the group stakeholders that were involved in this committee. So with that, is there any discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
I'd just like to point out that I am not going to vote. I will not be in favor of this bill because I think it puts a Band-Aid on a major problem. And if we are going to define invasive species, pardon?
Go ahead.
If we are going to define invasive species as being a difficult problem for our state, then I think we need to look at a more broad-based solution to the problem and not this small resource of raising inspections from 3.5% to 12%. So with that, I do not support this bill.
Okay, Senator Olson, thank you for your comments. Was there any more discussion on this? I just would like to say that I do agree with you that I wish that this was a broader bill, but I do know that the agency and the stakeholders have been working on this for quite a while, and I do think this is a good start. I'm hoping that in the future we will be able to expand this program because I do agree that it doesn't cover the number of inspections that I think it should, but this is a new program. It's a start, and hopefully we'll be able to expand it in the future, but I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
All right, so the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Ash?
Is excused.
Senator Przanski?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
No.
Chair Dinsel?
Aye. With that, the motion passes, and the bill is sent to the Committee on Ways and Means. So we won't assign a carrier at this time. That will be assigned down in the Ways and Means Committee. We will close the work session on Senate Bill 81, and we'll go ahead and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 79. Beth, if you can provide an overview, please.
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, Senate Bill 79 would authorize the Environmental Quality Commission to establish greenhouse gas emissions fees for sources subject to federal air quality program permit requirements due to greenhouse gas emissions. There's no revenue impact, no fiscal statement available, no subsequent referral on the bill.
Okay. Andy, thank you. And do we have anybody that would like to? Okay. We're going to have DEQ come up first and provide an overview on the program, and then we do have one person signed up to testify.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Andy Ginsberg. I'm the Air Quality Administrator at DEQ. And before I provide a brief background on Senate Bill 79, I'd just like to note that there are two bills today that I'm going to be talking about. The other is Senate Bill 80, and there has been some question about the difference between the two. So I just want to take a brief moment to describe the difference, since they both address greenhouse gases, but they are very separate. Senate Bill 79, which we're having a hearing on right now, is to address a new federal requirement that companies with large emissions of greenhouse gases have permits, whereas Senate Bill 80 is a follow-up to a state bill last session, Senate Bill 38, which had to do with greenhouse gas reporting. Senate Bill 79 affects the largest industrial emitters of greenhouse gases, whereas Senate Bill 80 affects fuel distributors and electricity importers, so two totally separate universes of sources. And Senate Bill 79 would generate new revenue, and that would be used to support a new position that is included in DEQ's requested budget, whereas Senate Bill 80 would not generate any new net revenue because the revenue would be used to reduce other fees, and it would not result in any new positions. So with that background, let me describe Senate Bill 79. And I am here today to provide information and support for Senate Bill 79, And this bill would, as Beth said, establish authority for the Environmental Quality Commission to assess fees for Title V permits to cover the cost of new federal greenhouse gas permitting requirements. EPA recently required industrial facilities that emit high levels of greenhouse gases to have permits known as the Title V operating permit. And right now, about 20 to 30 companies would be affected by this requirement, but in the future, more companies may be affected as EPA lowers the threshold that triggers permitting. And under federal law, companies would not be able to operate without these permits, and DEQ is required to issue the permits. We do have the authority to do the permitting, but we don't have we don't have adequate resources to do the work, and that's what Senate Bill 79 is about. It would revise the existing Title V fee structure to allow for an additional fee for greenhouse gases to cover the greenhouse gas work. So a little bit about Title V fees. Federal law requires that the Title V program be fully funded, 100% funded by fees, that the fees may only be spent on the program, and that the fees need to be adequate to cover the work in the program. State law establishes that Title V fees are charged on four specific pollutants, and those are particulate, nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide, and volatile organic compounds. But there is no fee authorized for greenhouse gases. And the fee levels are set to cover the existing workload, and Senate Bill 79 then would add additional revenue, which would be sufficient for one additional position, as I mentioned, included in DEQ's budget. A little bit of background on EPA's permitting requirement. It was adopted in May 2010, and it added greenhouse gases to the Title V permitting program. It requires that companies that emit over 100,000 tons of greenhouse gases per year obtain a Title V permit. Some of the companies that currently do not otherwise trigger Title V will now be required to get Title V permits, and then other companies that already have a Title V permit will have to have greenhouse gases added. And right now we are developing the implementing rules. They're scheduled to go before the Environmental Quality Commission in April. So why can't our current fees pay for this additional work? First, we would not have adequate resources to do the additional work. There's more sources, and there's more conditions for the permits of the existing sources. And so we wouldn't have a sufficient resources to issue all the permits timely, which is very important in today's economy, of course. In addition, if we didn't have additional resources, we would have to shift some staff who are currently working on other people's permits to work on these new Title V permits, and that would mean that we would have companies that were funding the program expecting us to use the revenue to work on their permits. We're actually using the revenue to work on other people's permits. So Senate Bill 79 would add this new fee. It's very simple. There's two tiers. The higher tier would be for companies that are required to get a Title V permit solely because of their greenhouse gas emissions. In other words, they don't currently have a permit because their emissions of other pollutants are fairly low, but they're now triggering the program for the first time because of because of greenhouse gases. And then we think there may be about 7 or 8 companies in that category right now, but as I mentioned, there could be more in the future. And then there's a lower fee for existing companies that just need to have greenhouse gases added to their existing permit, and we think there are about 20 to 25 of those at this time. The fees would be set in statute, but one important nuance is that the statute has all of the fees in $1989 dollars, and then it requires that they be increased by inflation. So you'll see that in the bill that the fee for companies that are newly subject to Title V is listed as $4,000 per year. When you add the inflation multiplier, that would equal $7,095 in today's dollars. And then there's a fee for modifying an existing permit to include greenhouse gases listed in the bill at $600. When you apply the inflation multiplier in today, that would be equal to $1,064. So all of the fees in the bill are in $1989, and this in the statute are $1989, and this just continues that pattern. And it's also important to note that the new fee does not replace the existing fees. So a company that was newly subject to Title V because of their greenhouse gases would pay today approximately $7,095 for the greenhouse gas fee. They would also pay a base fee that all Title V permittees pay, which is currently $7,183. And then they would pay an emission fee for any of their other pollutants, which would be fairly low because their emissions of those are low enough that they didn't otherwise trigger permitting. So in summary, the purpose of Senate Bill 79 to ensure we have adequate revenue to meet this new federal requirement. It ensures that the existing permittees are not subsidizing the cost of the new permittees. We did work with industry groups to develop the simple fee structure, and I do also need to note that we have one simple amendment that we've worked out with the industry groups that would better align the definition of greenhouse gases with the federal definition, and we don't have a legislative council draft of that right now, but we do have the language. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. I think we have one question from my vice chair, and then we'll take some other questions. And just to let you know, we do have John Ledger from Association of Oregon Industries that would like to come up and comment as well.
Madam Chair, do we need to amend this bill to reflect the current dollar fees instead of the 1980 whatever they were fees?
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, we don't need to because the inflation adjustment is built into the bill and built into the existing statute. So all the fees are listed in $1989, and then it directs the Environmental Quality Commission to adjust the fees by the amount that the Consumer Price Index has increased since 1989. So if we put the higher amount in the fee, then it would the resultant final fee would be too high. So we have to put it in the bill in $1989.
Other questions for the department? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
John Ledger? Welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. I'm John Ledger, Associated Oregon Industries. We probably represent the largest grouping of facilities that would be affected by this bill. Certainly, there are Title V facilities, and I've been asked several times about what our position is on this, and we have no objections to this moving over to the House.
Madam Chair.
Senator.
Can I take the hook?
Yeah.
And when it gets to the House, can you give us a forecast of what might happen?
The House is a tumultuous place. I wouldn't presume.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Any other comments?
No, we understand amendments are coming and they will be an improvement.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Have you been involved with working with the agency on the amendments?
Yes, we have, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else who would like to testify on Senate Bill 79? And given that, we will be coming back to this since we have amendments. Okay. So with that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 79. And on to the next Andy Ginsburg introduction. We'll open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 80.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, for the record, I'm Andy Ginsburg, Air Quality Administrator at DEQ. And now I'm here to provide information about Senate Bill 80, which is a bill that would authorize greenhouse gas reporting fees for electricity importers and fuel distributors. And on this bill, I'd like to note that DEQ does not have a position. We're presenting this bill to you for your consideration because there have been concerns on both sides of this issue, but we don't have a position on this particular bill. Senate Bill 80 is a follow-up to a bill adopted last session, which was Senate Bill 38, and that, in turn, was a follow-up to a rule that the Environmental Quality Commission adopted in 2009, which required greenhouse gas reporting from industrial facilities in the state. There are approximately 175 reporters under the original bill, under the original rule, and they account for about one-third of the emissions of greenhouse gases in the state. Senate Bill 38 added reporting for electricity importers and fuel distributors, and those were two categories the Commission formerly did not have authority to include. That added 210 additional reporters, and they account for most of the rest of the emissions. In other words, about two-thirds of the emissions. So now, with the original rule and the revised rule with Senate Bill 38, the reporting is pretty comprehensive. The program is funded by a fee that is currently paid solely by the 175 original reporters. That is, those industrial facilities that have air quality permits are paying for the entire program, which is made up of two positions. Senate Bill 38 directed DEQ to evaluate this funding structure and consider whether fees should be established for the new reporters that were added under Senate Bill 38. And so, as I mentioned, Senate Bill 80 is a funding option for your consideration. And what it would do is divide the cost of the reporting program among the existing and new reporters. So, in effect, it would lower the fees for the existing reporters, add fees for the new Senate Bill 38 reporters. The total revenue to DEQ would be the same. The staffing would be the same. We will be sending a full report on this to the full legislature shortly that covers our research into the question. So the current fee structure, as I mentioned, applies to the 175 existing reporters before Senate Bill 38. And the fee was established to be equal to, as I mentioned, all of the existing reporters have air quality permits from DEQ. So the fee was established to be equal to 15% of their existing permit fee, and with a cap set at $4,500, because there are a few companies that have very large permit fees, and so this capped it. So the fees range from $54 on the low end to $4,500 on the high end. There is only one company at the low end that pays $54. They have very low emissions of regular pollutants, so their current permit fee is very low, and 15% of that is low. And most of the companies are in the middle, paying in the order of $200 to $1,000. And then there are a few larger companies that pay more under the current program, with, as I mentioned, with a cap of $4,500. And as I mentioned, this results in revenue sufficient to fund two positions. And just briefly, the work they do includes rulemaking, establishing the methods and protocols for reporting, developing reporting tools for easy online reporting, maintaining a database, providing technical assistance to the reporters, auditing the greenhouse gas reports. And I should mention that the companies were particularly interested in DEQ doing the audits rather than a requirement to hire a third-party independent auditor. Analyzing the emission data, exchanging information with EPA and other state agencies, and then making the information available to the public. So it does take two FTE to do this work. We are able to include all of the new reporters with the existing resources because we're doing this in a computerized method, and we can absorb the additional work with the same staff. So how would Senate Bill 80 change the fee structure? Senate Bill 80 would add fees for the new reporters that were added under Senate Bill 38. As I mentioned, all of the revenue would be utilized to reduce the fees for the existing reporters. So the total revenue would be the same, and the staffing level would be the same. Senate Bill 80 proposes a two-tiered fee structure. One would be for large electric companies and natural gas utilities. There are eight of those in total, and their fee would be set at the same level that the cap is set for the industrial reporters, which is currently, as I mentioned, $4,500, but it would be reduced because we would have new revenue from the new reporters. I don't know the exact dollar amount, but it would be less than the current cap. All of the other Senate Bill 38 reporters, which would include gasoline, diesel, and aircraft fuel distributors, as well as propane importers and consumer-owned utilities, would all pay an annual fee that would not exceed $100. One last thing I wanted to mention is that in adopting the reporting rules, we tried to include as much streamlining as possible. One of the streamlining elements was to coordinate with ODOT, which already collects information for tax purposes from many of the fuel distributors. So we're working with ODOT to revise their form so that the fuel distributors can submit one report to ODOT that satisfies both their requirements and our requirements. And we're hopeful that that will reduce the cost for the fuel suppliers to submit both reports. But I just wanted to note that it does not reduce our costs because we still have to collect the data, audit the data, and analyze the data, you know, develop our reports and, you know, share the data with others and maintain our database and so forth. So it's not a cost savings for us, but we're hopeful that it will save costs for those that have to report. So in summary, Senate Bill 80 does not have a fiscal impact for DEQ. We can implement the new reporting requirements under Senate Bill 38 with our current staff, and so therefore we don't have a position on this bill. But this bill would, if it were adopted, would be used to lower the fees for the existing reporters. We discussed it with our Greenhouse Gas Reporting Advisory Committee. We received mixed feedback. Some were in favor, some were against, most were unsure and didn't offer a strong opinion. But as I mentioned, with or without the bill, we have adequate revenue to implement the program, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Andy. Questions? Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, it seems like the only people we have signed up are people that are opposed, so we'll call you all up together. Paul Romaine, Hillary McBride, I think it is, and Ted Case. So I'm assuming you're all new reporters and there's no existing reporters that have signed up. Okay, come on up. That's sort of telling. Yes, and we do have a letter from the City of Portland that has been submitted for the record, and a letter from IBW. Okay. Whoever wants to go first?
I'll go. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Romaine. I'm an attorney.
Pull your microphone a little closer. Thank you.
Usually I don't have a problem shouting into microphones.
Make sure everybody online can hear you loud and clear.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Romaine. I'm an attorney in Portland, and I'm representing the Oregon Petroleum Association here. I'm also with the Oregon People's Utility Districts Association, but Hillary will be testifying in just a second. We are strongly opposed to Senate Bill 80. Basically, as Mr. Ginsburg testified, this bill tries to get money from people who have no reason to deal with DEQ other than reporting. These are not Title V permit holders. These are people who basically have been asked to give DEQ some information. And from the petroleum side, the really sad thing about it is we already give that information to ODOT. We give all the information that the DEQ really needs from the petroleum folks for tax collection purposes. We've been doing that for many years. You collect millions and millions of dollars based on the information we supply. In fact, we actually collect the tax for you. And we don't see why we should have to pay a fee. In fact, actually what should happen if you want this information, you should actually be paying us to give you that information. That, frankly, would be a little fair. The tax reporting used to be incredibly onerous because up until just recently, in fact, a bill just came over from the House to you, House Bill 2196, which I commend to you, 2136, which I commend to you. We used to have to submit all these reports on paper, and the petroleum industry would submit 18,000 pieces of paper a month and still do. For tax collection purposes, it's almost unusable data except for the fact that we submit a check with it. What ODOT is doing, and they've been working very closely with us, is to revise their method of reporting to go to electronic filing to make it accessible, something you can audit so you can actually see who's really paying and who's not paying. It'll make it easier for the industry, and it'll make it much friendlier for the state and much easier for DEQ to get the information that they want. We agreed to Senate Bill 38 last time around because, frankly, there was a provision in there that said that they should coordinate with other state agencies that we report with. That was specifically ODOT. And they have been trying to coordinate with ODOT. We just want to make sure that we're not submitting duplicate reports, duplicate time to everybody, and then having to pay a fee on top of it. Finally, just one little piece. If you read the Greenhouse Gas Advisory Committee report online, page 45 of that report has an interesting paragraph. And it basically says, members ask what DEQ will do with the information and what benefit reporters receive by DEQ collecting the information. It is one thing to collect information from reporters for the state and another to provide reporters a benefit. The DEQ response. DEQ is collecting the information to improve the state's overall inventory of greenhouse gas emissions, understand where the emissions come from, track progress towards the state's greenhouse gas reduction goals, identify categories appropriate for reducing emissions through regulatory or non-regulatory programs, and develop long-term plans for addressing greenhouse gas emissions and understand impacts of regulatory programs. For example, there could be unintended consequences in cap and trade, such as reporters splitting into small entities to be under the threshold. Could have sworn we didn't pass cap and trade, but that's beyond me. While the rules don't have regulatory requirements other than to report, the workload for DEQ is to collect data, enter the data into the system, et cetera, et cetera. DEQ needs to base the program on good science and start with good data. The program is not intended to benefit reporters. The benefit to reporters is DEQ will develop regulations for reporters based on good data. The problem with that statement, that it's not intended to benefit the ones who are actually reporting, is if you charge a fee for it, you're basically charging us a tax. You're giving DEQ the ability to levy a tax because we don't get anything for what we're reporting. And I believe there was there is a senator on the committee here who actually asked that question either last term or a little bit ago of legislative council. This is not where we're paying a fee for a hunting license or something like that. We are simply being asked to report information. So we are totally opposed to, without regulatory authority, basically being in a position to be charged a fee simply for giving information, which we're more than willing to give because it's valuable information, to a state agency. Thank you.
Thank you. Do
we
go next?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Hillary McBride, and I serve as the Community Relations Officer at Emerald People's Utility District in Eugene, Oregon. Today I'm here on behalf of the Oregon People's Utility District Association. We collectively serve more than 175,000 customers in Oregon. We deliver more than 4 million megawatt hours to our customers throughout Oregon. We are governed by 5 locally elected board members who hold open meetings, establish policies, and set cost-based rates for the services that we provide. We also pay property taxes and franchise fees. In 2010, we paid $7.5 million in property taxes and franchise fees, and also $43.5 million in salaries and benefits, which stayed in our local communities. First, I would like to take a moment to thank you for your efforts that you made in Senate Bill 38 hearings during the 2010 special session. In Senate Bill 38, as you recall, you stated that consumer-owned utilities like us could comply with reporting to DEQ by submission of a report by a third party. You recognized our need for a less onerous process, allowing the BPA to submit reports for consumer-owned utilities when appropriate. This allowed PUDs like us to conserve our administrative expenses and control costs, which is especially important for us in our current economy. OPUDA is opposed to the changes proposed in Senate Bill 80 regarding the reporting fees for greenhouse gas emissions. Charging a fee for simply collecting a report from another government entity without any regulatory program or permit would set a precedent for collecting fees from utilities and would be an unnecessary expense to utility customers in tough economic times. All OPUDA utilities work daily with customers, your constituents, who cannot pay their electric bills. EPUD alone, which is in Senator Prezanski's territory, we take on average 30 calls a day, which is 22% of our overall call volume, from customers who are having to make the choice between paying their utility bill and putting groceries on the table for their family. It's these customers that would ultimately foot the bill for these types of fees. I understand that this is a very small fee. Our main concern, though, is that it sets the precedent for charging these types of fees and that the data that would be collected from what is being reported would not be even used. So we really just don't understand the purpose behind the reporting. It should also be noted that we participated in the Greenhouse Gas Reporting Advisory Committee at the DEQ, and the committee did not authorize the DEQ to move forward with legislation that would add fees for entities without air quality permits. We urge you to oppose this bill, and I thank you guys for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Ted?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Ted Case. I am the Executive Director of the Oregon Rural Electric Cooperative Association. ORECA represents 18 electric co-ops in Oregon, serving over 200,000 members with 30,000 miles of line. Appreciate the opportunity to testify today on SB 80 to establish a greenhouse gas reporting fee. Like others, ORECA participated in the DEQ greenhouse gas advisory committee, and we're currently working with interested parties to establish the protocols for our reporting requirements for this summer. I think it's important to note that Oregon's electric cooperatives, like the PUDs and the municipal utilities, get their power from the Bonneville Power Administration, the hydro system, so we have a very de minimis carbon footprint. With respect to SB 80, we continue to be concerned with any new fees or assessments or surcharges that we have to pass on to our consumers. While the proposed amount in the legislation may seem nominal, we've been very successful in keeping our rates low to consumers by being very skeptical of any new fees. Electric cooperatives are facing upward rate pressure like other utilities. The Bonneville Power Administration has announced a near double-digit rate increase. I note that Lane Electric in Senator Brzezinski's district has a 6% rate increase. So we're always looking to try to protect our rural consumers, and these additional rate increases from Bonneville will certainly exacerbate the situation out there, which the committee is very aware of. I'm certainly not suggesting today that this fee will be the tipping point for rural consumers, but we're always concerned about the pancaking of costs. So appreciate the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else that would like to testify on this bill? Okay, Laura. Can you come up? Anybody else that would like to testify on this bill? Before we close the public hearing. Okay.
Hi. Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Lana Butterfield, and I'm here on behalf of the Pacific Propane Gas Association. And while our propane dealers would not be paying the fee, the propane importers would be. And so on their behalf, I'd like to say that we oppose the bill, and we agree with the previous speakers. We have no other reason to be dealing with DEQ, and we would like to be taken out of it if everyone else is, so thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to testify before we close the public hearing on this bill? Okay. With that, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 80, and we'll open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 640. Seth?
Senator Dingfelder, members of the committee, Senate Bill 640 would authorize divisions of land in exclusive farm use zones to create a parcel smaller than the minimum lot or parcel size for fire service facilities that provide rural fire protection service. There's no revenue impact. There is a minimal expenditure impact. No statement was issued and no subsequent referral.
Thank you, Beth. Sorry we have to make you talk so much for recovering from a cold. With that, I see that Senator Girard is here, and I'm going to also ask Marion County Commissioner Patty Milne to come up. Okay, welcome.
Thank you. Chair Dingfelder, colleagues, I'm Senator Fred Girard. I represent Senate District 9, which includes 18 small cities and three parts of rural counties. That would be Marion, Clackamas, and Linn counties. I want to thank you for hearing Senate Bill 640. This is a really, really good bill. It has bipartisan support. What the bill does is it corrects an oversight in current land use law. We all realize the need for fire suppression in rural Oregon. For that reason, the construction of fire stations isn't allowed outright use on EFU property. However, the partitioning of the property for this purpose is not allowed. This bill corrects this discrepancy. You will also hear from Chief Yoder, Aurora Fire Chief, Fred Netter, and Greg Leo, Fire District Board Commissioners, and Patty Mill, Marion County Board of Commissioners. I simply want to share my support for this bill. I see Senate Bill 640 as an economic development issue. This project will certainly contribute to the local economy during the construction phase, but it will also increase the level of protection for homes, businesses, and travelers in the fire district upon completion. I'm aware of no opposition to the bill, and one of my co-sponsors of the bill just approached the dais as well, President Cordy.
Thank you. Commissioner, why don't we have you go first, and then we'll
okay.
let the Senate President have the last word.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I've shared a letter that I wrote that you have in front of you. I'm going to let the fire district folks go through some of that background that's in my letter, but I am here today on behalf of the Marion County Board of Commissioners to encourage you to support Senate Bill 640 so that the Rural Fire Protection District can continue its 63-year legacy of timely, reliable volunteer and career professional fire, medical, hazardous materials, emergency response, and other related services. Yes, they provide a wide range of really important services. And to me, as a Marion County Commissioner, the safety and the well-being of our constituents is really what's primary for me to be here today as a County Commissioner. It's also really important to me that those people who are traveling through our county, those people who are visiting, we have a number of visiting attractions, tourist attractions. There are a number of businesses in addition to the farms and the homes, that this protection that the Aurora Fire Protection District provides is really critical to us and to the well-being of our citizens and visitors. The timely professional response to emergencies in this diverse area is a high priority to me and to my fellow commissioners. The Aurora Rural Fire District has picked out, they have set aside the ideal location to expand their services and to better meet the needs of the people in the area. And there is just a little glitch, and that's why we need your help to, through Senate Bill 640, this glitch, a little minor fix that really has no adverse effect on anybody or anything, can make their future plans become reality for better service in that part of the county. So thank you.
Great. Thank you for being here today. Senator Courtney?
Thank you. Chair Dingfelder and members of the August committee that I established some weeks ago to deal with all our environmental and natural resource issues. The good Senator Olson, good Senator Hass, Senator Brzezinski, and Senator Thompson. I was tackled in the hallway by Senator Drodd, who said, you will come and help me with this bill. That's a week after he demanded I sign on to the bill. And you got to understand, I know it's limited. Everything I have is limited. I am, by the way, show you how limited I am is, and I'll but quickly make up for it, is I'm limited in terms of my life experience, but I do know my name is Peter Michael Coleman Courtney, and I do know I live at 2925 Island View Drive, Northeast Salem, 97303. So that's what you're supposed to do right off the bat. I missed it, but you notice how I beautifully got there. And I am a state senator from District 11. But years ago, I was on the Salem City Council, and we put together the first ever comprehensive plan for the state that was approved by LCDC. It was Salem. I started to learn about different land use things. And the EFU thing I've lived with since I've come to the Oregon Legislature. For 26 years, I lived with the EFU situation. And it's very controversial. And so when Senator Drodd asked me to sign on, I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? So I did rely on his word that I would not get in trouble, and that I still could be respectful of the farming communities as well as our land use laws. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, he gives me no notice to testify, so I came down to testify, but I am relieved, Chair Ingfeld, to learn, in turn, if you look at the language that he's asking to be added in addition to the safety issues I'll briefly touch upon, Notwithstanding the minimum lot size, blah, 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 the governing body of a county or its designated may approve a proposed division of land in an exclusive farm use for farm use as set out in 215.213V or 215.283.1S. And it's interesting, if you look at the first 183.1, the language specifically says, and this decision has been made some time ago by other legislators and others, fire service facilities providing rural fire protection services. So that is already in the law, and I could repeat the other reference to ORS, and I won't. So I am relieved to learn that I signed on to a bill that at least already acknowledges EFU exceptions for fire services. So I think it is a good piece of legislation. I also think that I understand from talking to the Honorable Esteemed. who has shown me no respect, Senator Fredrod, that it will serve an area, all of Woodburn, all the way to Wilsonville. That is the area. And so it is something that we all pay a great deal of attention to, how to protect ourselves should we get into a fire situation. But I hope, Chair Dingfield, I have immense respect for you, you know that, in this whole area, because it's a sensitive, controversial area, that this within this EFU, that's something we've already said we'll put in there, and that therefore we're not insulting or doing harm to the philosophies behind our land use laws and EFU uses. So I am proudly here today, willingly here today, even though I acted like I wasn't, to support my colleague, as well as to ask that you give favorable support to Senate Bill 640. Thank you for indulging me, Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this august group of witnesses?
No, thank you.
Okay. We'll let them off easy.
Oh,
thank you for bringing
forward. Also letting me at least testify. You know, some committees I come to all prepared to hand out even written testimony, ready to go, and they don't let me testify. They dismiss me. They don't even take up the bill. So that happens.
We could go to work session now.
What's that?
We could actually go to work session
but at least let me come down there and show my face and put my name and address on the record.
Senator Courtney, if you stick around for a few more minutes, you may actually see.
Yeah, but you can't take me off the record. I'm on the record now. See, I go into the archives. I get to go into the archives now. All my life I wanted to be in the archives.
Okay, well, actually, we're not letting Senator Courtney have the last word because we have some other witnesses that would like to come up. So, Greg Leo, Fred, is it Netter?
Netter, yes.
Okay, and Rod Yoder from the Aurora Fire Bureau or Department. Now that the entertainment portion of our witnesses is over, thank you, gentlemen, for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The Aurora Rural Fire Department serves a 64-square-mile area, and I'd like to kind of lead off today with Rod Yoder, who's our chief, who will briefly describe what we're doing, why we're asking for this bill today for the committee.
Chief, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Chair Dingfelder and members of the committee. I appreciate the chance to address you today. My name's Rod Yoder. I live at 25490 South Roten Road in Aurora. I'm chief of the Aurora Fire District. I've held that position for the past 26 years. And I began my service with the Aurora Fire District 35 years ago as a third-generation volunteer firefighter there. My position became full-time about 6 years ago. When I joined the fire district, we responded on about 60 calls a year with a volunteer group force of 45 members. Now we respond to 539 calls a year, same 45 volunteers. Our problem is that our daytime response has been diminished because many of our citizens work out of the area during the day. So that brought up the requirement that we get some daytime help, and what we've done is put on 4 career personnel, 6 students, and they're responding along with the volunteers and supporting them. The central station came up when we started a planning session with local citizens, business owners, and some volunteer firefighters, and we were mapping out our future, and we realized that the center of our district would be the best place to put a central station that would respond to all calls and also to allow us to train our volunteers. During the evening when we train them, it's too far for them to go down south to a training facility or up to Tualatin Valley even. So we need something in our district at the center. So if we do have a call, we still can respond. So that's why we came up with this location. And I'm going to turn it over to Fred Netter, our board president, to explain the road we've taken and why we need this bill to finish what we started.
Chair Dingfelder and members of the Environmental and Natural Resource Committee, my name is Fred Netter. I live at 15082 Ottaway Road in Aurora. I am the president of Aurora Fire Board, and I have been for quite a number of years. I also am a farmer. I'm very passionate about what happens on farmland. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to address you concerning Senate Bill 640. The future of our district really depends on what happens with this. We did, as the chief said, convene a long-range committee to determine what was needed in the district. We have 64 square miles, two small towns. They happen to be located on the east and west sides of our district. Between those towns is also located Interstate 5, 99E, and two rail lines. So we do have some gaps there when the railroads are blocked and the freeways are blocked. We have some situations in the center of our district that are kind of hard for us to cover. The long-range planning committee came up with the idea that if we were to build a centralized station and training facility, we could accommodate most of those deficiencies and also keep our training in district. So with that in mind, we went out looking for property that might be available. It was and located in the center of the district. When we found that, we also did due diligence with the Marion County and found out, yes, indeed, it's allowed to build a fire service facility on EFU land. Most of the land in that area is large acreage farms. Well, what we found out in addition to that was that it's not allowed to partition land for a fire service facility. So we'd have to buy the whole farm. That doesn't make sense. Take the whole farm out of production for a fire service facility. From there, it brings us to where we're at right now. And we feel that this is an oversight, since it would be allowed, an outright allowed use on farmland to partition land for a church or for a cemetery. We feel that the fire service facility was just simply left off the list. We would like to see you put a favorable stamp on this bill for us so that we can better serve the patrons of our district, people that live there, the businesses that are there, and the people that pass through it. I thank you for this opportunity to speak to you and be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, gentlemen. Are there any questions?
Yes, I have some. Very notable project that you've got going on. I know the area very well. Could you tell me the distance? It's just about midway between Aurora and Donald. Donald's just a little bit farther. I think one thing that you forgot to note is that you also have a major truck stop right there, and with a lot of fuel and a lot of traffic that goes through there. This is a wonderful program. It's necessary. These guys do a very notable job, and they go a long way to do it on the freeway to get to some accidents that have happened quite far away from your central source. I think we need to move this as fast as possible.
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Olson, yes, you're exactly right. This would be in the center of the district. It would serve I-5, the Baldock Rest areas, and, of course, a major truck stop there at the Donald truck stop. It would be very close to that. So the proximity of this central station to where we get 52% of our calls on the I-5 corridor is an essential fact.
Follow-up, please. Uh-huh. I forgot to mention, were you guys involved in that big hay barn fire?
Yes, that's the Anderson Hay Fire. I'd like to turn it over to Chief Yoder to respond to that.
Senator Dingfelder and Senator Olson. Yeah, in response, we did have a large structure fire, and that's basically on the I-5 corridor, what I consider it's along Highway 551, which is running parallel with I-5. And so at that time, we had approximately six other agencies involved. Multiple units went to multiple alarms. So.
Follow-up. And if you would have had this facility, it would have been much easier to fight this fire because it would have been so much closer than you were.
It would have been closer in distance, not necessarily, but the road that we would travel along Ellen Road, if you're familiar, is our east-west route, and 551 would be our north-south. The advantages of being central in the district and being right on the main routes are essential. So what we came up with was if we put career staff just at Aurora, where we currently have them, the other end of our other side of our district to the west is waiting quite a while for a response. If we can put this central station, everybody, it's almost to the tenth of a mile, the very center between the two small towns. And so, and rural fire protection is the majority of our response. We have about 10% in the city of Aurora, 10% in the city of Donald, and 80% of our calls are in the rural.
One more follow-up. This is the last question, and I'm really throwing you the softballs on this one. We have the Aurora Airport, and you had mentioned to me that if with this facility being so close, you could actually staff a fire engine there with volunteers at the airport, and it would be easy to handle fires at the airport, or better to handle fires at the airport. Is that not correct?
Chair Dingfelder and Senator Olson, that'd be correct. We will, in the future plans, we would like to actually put a crash response unit at the airport to be staffed possibly with volunteers there, but it would be supported from this central station also. At this time, we did have a crash truck for airport use that was donated to us by the city of Salem, but we're actually storing it out close to this location in a mini storage waiting for a facility at the airport. And at this time, we don't have a facility to put it in.
All right, thank you. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. And our last witnesses are Ted Kunze. I'm not sure I'm saying that right. Mark Landauer. And while they come up, I just want to mention that there's two letters that have been submitted in the record. One is from the Woodburn Fire District in support of the bill, and Clackamas County Farm Bureau also in support of the bill. Thank you. And I'm sorry, did I say your name
it's
wrong?
It's Kunze.
Kunze, got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
good
you.
Afternoon. My name is Ted Kunze. I'm the fire chief and chief executive officer of the Canby Fire District. My office is located at 221 South Pine Street, Canby, Oregon, 97013. Chair Dingfelder and members of the dais, what I'm here today to do is represent two things, and I'll be really quick because I think the folks from Aurora made a really good case about what's going on. First of all, I want to let you know that I'm also here supporting the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association. I am past president of that group, and we are fully behind this bill. We think it's really important for Aurora to be able to accomplish that, but we see opportunities for other rural districts, and I'll use mine as an example. If you look at Measure 37 claims in Clackamas County, about half of them that were granted exist within my fire district, which could cause an extreme amount of growth to happen in the 54 square miles that surround Canby. And for us to be able to locate a facility and do that reasonably on a piece of property is really, really important. So we definitely support that bill. But as I said, throughout Oregon, a lot of fire districts will be able to take advantage of this. Aurora has the immediate need, and as Commissioner Milne noted, that this is going to fix a glitch in the system. I'd also like to pass on to you that the Oregon Joint Fire Service Legislative Committee also fully supports this bill.
Thank you. Mark?
Good afternoon, Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee. My name is Mark Landauer, representing the Special Districts Association of Oregon, representing approximately 900 special districts across the state, providing a variety of different services to the citizens of Oregon. SDAO supports Senate Bill 640. This bill protects taxpayers in not having to purchase large tracts of farmland, and frankly, it protects farmers and farmland. We think that it's a reasonable accommodation for a situation in particular with the Aurora Fire Department, but we imagine that this will be needed in the future as well. With that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from this panel? Okay. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you.
Gentlemen. Anybody else would like to testify on Senate Bill 640? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 640. We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 640. Do we have any fiscal on this?
There is a
no minimal expenditure impact statement, so essentially no fiscal.
Okay. Actually, I think that my vice chair will make this motion. Okay, so we're in a work session now. I'll accept a motion. Did I open up a work session?
You just did.
I did.
Chair Dingfelder, I move Senate Bill 640 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 640 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on this bill? Senator Johnson?
Liz, this is kind of my first bill that I'm almost an authority on it. I'm a pear grower, and I've been a volunteer fireman for 30 years now, and I give my full support to this. I know anytime you can increase the time that you can get to a fire, the better chance you have to put it out, or the quicker you can get to an accident, the better chance you have of helping somebody that needs their help. So I'll be in full support of this. Thank you.
Other comments? Yeah. Just want to say thank you for bringing this forward. I am an avid cyclist, and I cycle around this area, and I certainly hope that I don't need your services in the future. But if so, and obviously for those of us who drive up and down the I-5 corridor almost on a daily basis, we appreciate the work that you do and hope that you will not have to respond to many accidents in the future, but we know that that is it's something that unfortunately seems to be increasing. So appreciate the work that you've done on this, also to minimize the impacts on if you land. So with that, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. So the motion passes, and I think that we will ask Senator Girod, who left the room, if he would like to carry this bill. Senator Brzozinski?
Madam Chair, I think that's an appropriate motion for the carrier, but we may also want to have one of us, and I'd recommend Senator Thompson as a backup.
Okay. Senator Thompson, would you accept that backup responsibility?
Chair Dingfelder, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I just thought we would assign the chief co-sponsor. We could do Senator Rod and Senator Courtney as co-carriers.
No. he's already in the record, right?
Okay. With that, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 640. Colleagues, before you all run off, we are going to open up a work session for the purpose of committee measure introduction. We just received hot off the press a committee measure that we're waiting to come back from LC. And just want to make a reminder that this is for introduction purposes only, and we're only voting on introducing this measure. It is not on the content of the measure. Those of you who were here a few weeks ago will recognize this was done. Do you remember the date? This is a redraft of an earlier version. Okay, so this is, Beth, do you want to just say a few words about this version?
This is a bill that the interim committee heard some testimony on related to copper, reducing copper in brake pads. There was a first draft of the bill submitted, and it was actually referred to the Senate Transportation Committee. This bill draft is different. We've been working on it with a group of the stakeholders, and this is the result.
Okay, so I'm going to open up a work session for the purpose of committee measure introduction, and I'll accept a motion.
Madam Chair, yes. I move that we accept measure LC 3870, dated 2/22/11, as a committee bill.
Okay, Senator Brzozinski moves that LC 3870, dated 2/22/2011, be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Okay, seeing none, the measure is introduced as a committee bill, and I will close the work session for measure introduction. And with that, gentlemen, we are adjourned early.
Happy hour.